something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Jer fills us in on how his mom is doing in the wake of the horrendous outbreak at Roberta Place.
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
What the hell? What the hell's going on? What a last week and a half has just been crazy. Well, last thing we talked about was the outbreak at my mom's long-term care facility.
Yep.
And then that, and then it just, the couple days after that, it turned into national news as the worst outbreak in the country. And my mom, right in the middle of it, contracted COVID 6 or 7 days ago. And so, yeah, it's just been a kind of a whirlwind of a whole new kind of pain, in a sense. Just the isolation with her, and then the isolation of not being able to see her, and not, you know, sitting here and having to watch all this kind of unfold. There's it was pretty scary last couple days ago. She was doing okay, stable with COVID for 3 days, and then she had a downturn where she was had no appetite for a day and a half or so. And it was, this was it's Thursday today, so this was Tuesday evening. She had to be taken to hospital. And, you know, it's enough to know that they have to call 911 and get her to the hospital from there. But somebody and my brother was the one on the phone at the time with a staff member that heard about this, the fact that she needed to go to the hospital because her levels were low and needed to an IV. But whoever the staff person was also throws out, like, well, just understand the paramedics might refuse to take her. It's like, you know, what the hell, you know, imagine hearing that and as a family member. So now I'm not sure if my mom's going to get to the hospital when, and the reason why she was going to the hospital is because the condition that she was in, apparently there were other people in her position that were the same way and then went to sleep and ended up, you know, passing away through the night. At this point, as of today at Thursday, I don't actually know, this was yesterday at 1 o'clock, there's been 50 deaths in
there.
Oh my
God.
So in 127 residents, one care worker has passed away. So it just went 100% ripped through the building. And so just, it was concern after concern. Apparently she had no problem getting to the hospital, so she went to the hospital, again, unneeded stress. Once she got there, at first they thought for some reason that she had COPD, which she doesn't. She has dementia. So they put her on oxygen right away at RVH, and she didn't need it. So it went up to 99 and it was unnecessary, but they got her stabilized. I spoke to a nurse, and they realized, obviously, from that moment on, she had dementia, and they had to understand, because there's a big difference. If you don't think someone has dementia, they could think that her not understanding things are symptomatic, you know. So once that was sorted out, she spent the night at the hospital, and she got back to Roberta Place, and there's four nurses there. That was yesterday when she got back there. And so she's stable, and actually even today has gotten a bit of her appetite back. So a week in to COVID with her, it looks, hopefully she's kind of over the hump and is going to make it through. I was just on a FaceTime with her like an hour ago.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, for the first time since the outbreak.
Oh my gosh. Which
started on January 8th. So she, and she's doing okay, but she's still groggy, and I wouldn't say she's all there. She's just kind of getting through it right now. So, but it's unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
It won't surprise you to know I have questions.
Yeah.
The first.
Well, I mean, so I just wanted to just vent for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Go for it.
The inaction by the Ford government and Fullerton, the MPP, has been astonishing. And to see it firsthand, that's when you really kind of understand how important it is to have help on day one. Like the Red Cross didn't show up until the 16th. So that was a solid many days to have it kind of fester. There's reports that were admitted by Jarlett, the owner, that they did make a mistake in the cohorting, and there were they were putting infected staff or infected patients with residents with non-infected residents. So,
oh my gosh,
it was a clear failure from the beginning. I don't blame the people at Roberta Place, the LTC in Barrie. They shouldn't have to deal with this on their own. There should have been all hands on deck from day one. Baseboarding is 15 minutes away. They brought the military in the spring. They didn't in the fall when the wave was way worse. Fullerton and Ford are saying that things were okay, and that's why they didn't implement the military. So there's just so many mistakes. And for me as a family member, I just don't want to see it happen anymore. Like, it's already happened in, you know, from almost every province, and it's catastrophic. I mean, imagine if it was 100 kids and there was an outbreak. Do you think they would just leave them in there? It's just unbelievable.
It's crazy because you've had a feeling about COVID since it started, and you were one of the first people I knew to take it really seriously and to kind of ring the alarm bells. And it's almost like there was some deep-seated thing in you that knew it was going to hit close to home.
Yeah, maybe.
A lot of this is because I don't know, and this is a good chance to help people understand. First of all, what kind of mindset is your mom in, like, prior to this, as far as lucidity wise? Like, is she pretty with it, with moments where the record skips, or
she's like good on like long term memory and remembering things in her past. She's okay. It's just things that have happened recently, in the, you know, the last 15-20 minutes. So
with something like this, for example, when you talked on FaceTime, does she remember going to the hospital yesterday?
Yes, yeah, she does. Like, if you ask her about it, she remembers it. But if there's times when she might forget that she spoke to me, you know. But if somebody says, "Hey, remember you spoke to Jeremy?" she'll be like, "Oh yeah, I remember." You know what I mean? She'll remember the moment if it's really kind of pointed out, but it can go after that. So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the other thing, yeah, like, I've been calling from day one, I've been pretty hardcore on lockdowns and that the fact that they work. And I mean, we are seeing numbers dropping in Ontario and to the, you know, 1500 area as opposed to, you know, 4000 a few weeks ago. So lockdowns definitely works, masks work. All of these things have to be followed. I just don't, and when this stuff happens, I mean, it just really boils my blood to know that somebody actually came from the UK, which was this new, that had COVID, this new variant, B117. It spreads way quicker. I'm not sure if it's a more violent version of the virus in terms of the actual when it gets to the body, how bad it is that way, but it definitely spreads quicker. So some moron flew from the UK, didn't quarantine, and actually visited with a staff member over the holidays. And that staff member brought it into Roberta
Wow. Place.
And that's how, and they won't disclose the information. It makes sense why, because sure, it's terrible that happened, and it's an example of how people were not following the rules, simple rules of lockdowns, that this spread like this. And you can't blame the first match necessarily when the spread happened so quickly, and that to me is the biggest failure, is the fact that they allowed it to go through the building so quickly.
I guess the reason I ask about your mom's overall state, there are two reasons. One is, like, on top of physically her going through this, would you say it was traumatic for her? Did she seem upset?
I don't know. I don't know if she could recollect that like that. And I didn't really. I don't know if it'd be worth even trying to go into specifics of how the situations go, because I don't know if her memory is there for that.
Which might be a blessing in a way, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess the other reason I asked that is because I was imagining if there were a lot of patients that have that type of short-term memory issue, trying to police, like, no, you have to keep your mask on. Because I know, for example, with my mom, I thought I was helping. I put a note outside her bedroom door on the wall that said, did you take your meds? Mm-hmm. And this was when she still lived alone. And then every time she'd come out of her room, she's like, oh, that's right, I should take my meds.
She's overtaking
meds. Yeah, she was taking them, you know, 4 times a day, and it took me a minute to figure that out. But I'm just trying to imagine for them to try to police a bunch of people with short-term memory keeping masks on, and you would forget why you had one on. Like, that must exacerbate the situation too.
Well, I mean, you have these absolute tools that are in the streets marching, saying they don't want to wear a mask. Like, that to me is the most vile form of humans right now. These people that actually have the time to get off their ass and protest against something that's helping save lives. Those are the people. That's the reason why Barry is now the ground zero for this new UK variant that spreads like wildfire. Just when the light's at the end of the tunnel and the vaccines are starting to be rolled out. I mean, I swear there's nothing that makes me more angry than these people that think this is all a big joke and it's a waste of time and let everybody go back to work. Like, seriously.
I just don't understand. Of all the things you could be in the world, like, collect sea glass. Like, that's something to be. Why is against masks the thing that you would be like, those are my people, I'm going to choose to put all my energy into that?
I don't know.
So how do you get, and I don't mean to sound clinical, but I think it's important information. And first and foremost, obviously, I'm so happy she's okay. I'm so happy she's back.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you sound okay. Mm-hmm. How do you get updates and information? Because I assume there were 127 families calling there at the same time. Yeah. Who's your liaison? Who talks to you? How does that part work?
Yeah, that's a whole other part of it that needs addressing and help. Is there was a daily update by email because the phone lines were down the first day. Like, the phone line stopped working. So they just gave daily email updates. And then when the numbers started getting, 99 and 40 deaths, when it started getting to that point it just became, now it's just town halls with the updates on the numbers instead of daily emails, just because I guess it's so shocking, it really is. But I think they should be completely transparent on all these levels. People need to be shocked. They need to be shown that it's been a failed thing and that they need to They probably need all the help that they can get at every level. And that means, you know, more tablets so people can call their families more. And I mean, how important is talking to a loved one when you're isolated for recovery? I mean, that's better than medicine for a lot of people. The other thing is just administration, period, like being able to communicate thoroughly with families on a daily basis. And that's definitely, they would need help on that. So I just think there needs to be a task force that's specializes in crisis, because none of these people are supposed to really specialize in crisis. They're supposed to be good at their job and help the patients and give them a great life. When an emergency hits, it's a whole other ball game. They need people from above to come in and that are specialized and trained for emergencies, crisis situations.
That's the thing. I know from Northwood, which was the site of a terrible outbreak in the first wave and resulted in a lot of deaths as well. I know from when my mom was there, the elevator door would open on the third floor and you would see someone that works there dancing with a resident. It wasn't for show or for my benefit. Most people that work in healthcare really, it seems to me, believe in what they're doing and care about, you know, their jobs and the people and the patients. I assume that's the same at Roberta Place. And imagine going to work every day as the numbers were creeping up and like you're punching out and then, you know, punch back in tomorrow morning at 8. Who owns Roberta Place?
Jarlette is the company.
It's a company, so it's privately owned.
Or a family, actually. Yeah, so definitely privately owned. The biggest shift in the problem for Ontario LTCs was Mike Harris. That was the person who really gutted the unions and the workers' worth, basically, you know, being able to work there and make a good wage and all the benefits, all that stuff. Mike Harris wiped that out. And ever since then, it's been more about kind of creating more of a stable business as opposed to having a thriving elderly population. So that's the basic nuts and bolts of it.
It sounds like it's really overdue, the conversation about
seniors. I blame Harris. I blame, you know, that whole scene, and it just kind of got worse and worse. I don't think Wynn did any better with it, obviously. To me, it's just, and Ford obviously is really doesn't understand how it works in terms of helping. So it just needs change, and it needs, and we need people that are going to start to take care of this, because hopefully we'll be old enough to be either in a residence or one of these places, and we want care. You don't want to be treated like this. And if we get together and talk about these situations as much as we can in our communities to our leaders, and change policies, then it'll be better for us when we're in that same position, because it's going to happen. Right now, it's all swept under the carpet.
The story in, I think it was the Toronto Star yesterday, about the LTC in Hamilton was devastating and shocking. In this context, what does the Red Cross do, and what would the military do?
Well, the Red Cross is there. They came on, like I said, on the 16th. They were, and you know, they should have been called in from above on the 8th. It would have made a huge difference. But they aid in everything. I mean, for example, the FaceTime I had with my mom was with a Red Cross worker. So they don't tell you how many staff are there. They only tell you that 86 staff have been infected, and I assume that's probably a whole staff plus people that are coming in. Because that place, it's just I can't imagine what it was like 2 weeks ago when it was just raging in there. But these frontline workers are crushing it, man.
Wait, my gosh, that hadn't even occurred to me. They just
need support.
So the Red Cross people are filling the gaps as the people that work there are off sick with COVID.
Yep.
So what happens is eventually you have a majority staff that don't actually work there, so wouldn't know the ins and outs of the buildings and the residents' names and stuff like that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. So that's why how much, and there's money there. There's over $6.5 billion sitting there. There's more than enough money to have a trained staff of professionals just sitting waiting to go on the first day, like all specialized, all for all those reasons. There's enough money to have that right now, but there isn't. They're not doing it. And that's the big issue. That's the biggest problem.
What would the military do? Like, would they physically remove people and put them up other places?
They're trained doctors and staff. And I think there were some reports the first time when they came in the spring, there might have been some reports of them not doing things or just taking over or things not going smoothly. And that being, you know, you can't blame that as a second reason to not do it. It has to be done properly the second time. You get better from there. But the idea would be the same idea as the people in the administration as it is in the nursing staff. But when they come in, they're there to coordinate and make everything go safely. So yeah, it's more about quarantining and testing like crazy, so that they would have to have everybody isolated and then test everybody before anybody does any mingling. And when you have a situation as it was there, how could you not do that effectively without a lot more people helping?
Right. And it's way above the scope of what most nurses and people that work at a place like that would be trained for. It's very specific, I guess.
And there's bulletin boards like emergency, health, Roberta Place. I don't know about specifically there, but job postings like wanted right now, emergency workers to come.
Yeah,
that. I don't think that necessarily means someone who's specifically perfect for the gig. It's basically we have a lot of people that are infected and we need help. And that's when you see a job posting, that tells you right away that like this is something that's overwhelming the staff, and they definitely, it's not their decision to ask for more help. That should happen already.
So before this happened, were you pretty happy with Roberta Place? And it seemed like, you know,
I was
nice place for your mom to live. And is that where like you've gone to visit her and stay with her for a couple of days? Yeah. So she's been there for a few years now.
Since 2019, July.
Wow.
She just after my dad passed away, she couldn't live by herself, but she, they were in lockdown from March last year. So remember best I could do is like wave and yell at her from the parking lots. And I was respecting not going in there without a really recent COVID negative test. But I thought they were on the right track and everything was cool. That's why it's hard for me to blame them, because this is an overwhelming situation that's really should be a national decision, or at least a provincial one.
So did you've done some media. Did they contact you because they saw your posts about it?
Yeah. There's not a lot of human contact with the story. You know, people don't hear from families. So I think because I was willing to do an interview, they just kind of piled up. After the fact, you know, I ended up doing everything, and I don't know if it raised awareness in terms of getting a decision made, but I'm sure it helped people understand the story a little bit more when they see a face and they can kind of picture of the situation instead of just hearing a number?
Well, yeah, it's heinous. Like, to imagine you can't talk to her, you can't hear from her, you don't know what's going on. So what did you do with the time? Like, did you try to distract yourself, or it was kind of all you could think about? How do you manage that?
I'm kind of thankful that there was a lot of press, to be honest. Like, I've probably been doing like 3 to 4 interviews a day since this started, and that kind of helps take my mind off it. The fasting has been helping me. You know, I haven't missed a day of 16 hours fasting, and that's helped me. Like, I have energy. It's something to think about when I'm hungry and I'm like, no, you can't eat it. It's like, I feel like I have more confidence if I can say, fuck you, don't eat that. You don't need that, you know, and not do it, and have a couple weeks of that now. So that helps. Obviously the family, being here, everything kind of trickles down to them, you know, the scope of this, you know. This last couple years have been difficult for them in a way, and they've all, y'all see it in different ways and reacting in their lives. And, this is just, this one's like really unacceptable. And they're seeing pain, fear, death, but also, negligence by what they're supposed to think is the government that's going to take care of them, you know. So it's
but they're also seeing their dad stand up for what's right and use this platform to get the word out there. That's a good message to share with them.
But you know, I'm just it's just been really difficult, because it's hard to imagine if my mom, like, as I feel at the same time, I'm super blessed that my mom's doing well. So I do feel lucky, and I feel like, you know, it's hard for me to be really angry because my mom's doing well, you know. But if she wasn't, I can't imagine. Because I got, you know, the other night when I wasn't sure how it was, I was just kind of seeing red for a bit, you know.
Fair enough. Did you hear from any politician types?
No. I've gotten like some NDP retweets and stuff. That's about it. All the other ones hide. The liberals and the conservatives run away.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad no one is trying to politicize it or you know, amplify it, because they see it as an opportunity.
Yeah, well, I mean, how can you when it's such a catastrophe? I think any awareness is good awareness for a politician right now, if they're saying this is a problem and needs to stop. But yeah, I'm surprised a lot of them are just kind of disappearing in that idea, or just saying everybody's doing what they can. And man, I'm like, going to the town halls at from Roberta Place, and you kind of listen to the staff, and it's just after 15 minutes you're like, really? This just sounds like a lot of things that you guys are kicking ass at, and things are just kicking ass. We got this situation, you know, everything's under control, we have help from A, B, C, D. 17 minutes later, it doesn't do anything for me, man. It just kind of bothers me, because this has been a massive failure, the spread of this. And you just don't see enough acknowledgement of that, and maybe at least get on the side of the families and say, you know what, this is true, we need help from the government. But I'm not seeing that.
It's almost like, I know politicians can't say I made a mistake unless they're really caught making a mistake. Because the old school thinking is that's like a sign of weakness to say that. But I think it would go pretty far I don't know. You probably can't hear. I'm sitting in the car outside Indy's hip hop class, and the That's church awesome. Bells are going.
There you go.
In downtown yeah. Truro. So if anyone can hear it, that's what it is.
I dig it.
It's almost like a little humility and less bravado would go a long way. Like, yeah, this thing is all over the place. It's fluid and it's bigger than us, and we're trying to keep up. Like, at yeah. least you'd hear that and say, like, yeah, I bet that is a challenge to try to be on top of it everywhere when it's so big and unwieldy. But I don't hear any of that from Doug Ford.
No.
I don't hear any of that, like, the struggle.
Totally. And the way that he was kind of looking like a hero with COVID, right? And, you know, shutting things down and like, oh, I'm going to be an 800-pound gorilla. He actually said he was going to put an iron ring around these LTCs. I think that iron ring was more keeping people from getting out. And yeah. just containing it that way so the community doesn't get it. But hey, sorry to say, now there's 99 cases in Barrie of this variant. You know, so you're not doing your job, Mr. Ford.
Well, he's also saying he's going to drive down to the States to get the vaccines that we didn't get, right?
Yeah, take care of us, thanks. Yeah, by himself in his pickup, right? Just getting it done. Because he's that kind of guy.
I'm surprised you've been so vocal about it. I'm surprised no one from... I guess I shouldn't be. I'm surprised no one from his camp has gotten in touch with you to say, what can we do? Or even if it's lip service and it's greasy, at least to say they did. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they probably read a couple tweets and they realize that, you know, I'm not a fan, and they know they can't tell the truth, which is, sorry, and you know, we're not doing anything.
They don't want to poke the bear. Yeah. Did you and your mom have any chuckles? Or was pretty kind of relief and emotional?
Yeah, I saw her smile a couple times. I cracked her up. I can't remember what I said to her, but she laughed, so... you know, she's doing good in that regard.
Were the kids over your shoulders waving and stuff?
No, it was just me. Just because when they called, it was kind of... I was in the middle of something else. I had just been on another town hall, so it was literally like a rush. But it's good to know I got to talk to the girl doing the FaceTime that's working there from the Red Cross. And I'm going to talk to her again on Tuesday, and obviously now that it's working great and makes sense, I'll bring the kids and everybody in for sure.
So did they basically say she's stable now?
Yeah.
Like we're not yeah. worried, like things are okay, like can you exhale yet?
Yeah. She's being monitored, you know, so every 2 hours they make sure everything's fine. If anything changes, then she'll be sent to the hospital. That's what we request.
Man.
Yeah, I think like if it's crazy, you know, they call you, the doctors, and they go through that checklist, you know, resuscitate, do you want to send them to the hospital? I'm like, how's that my decision, really? But it's pretty bizarre.
How did you and Jet manage it together?
Sorry, it's my decision because that's how power of attorney works. But I'm just saying when you're doing those decisions or they give you those options, you're like, wow.
Yeah, it's super weird. But I guess, so, I mean, between the two of you, like, do you spell each other off where someone gets kind of worked up and the other guy's like, don't worry, we'll get through this? Are you wired the same way and how you process something like that? Like, how did you tackle it as siblings?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, everybody's just so, it's so much, it's all 100% sympathy zone, you know? Everybody is just so weighted by the situation that, there's, you know, you get, you know, you're heated and you're you're kind of fired up, but you're really kind of there's no reason to be mad at anybody because everybody's pulling for the same thing. And if we're upset, it's just because of the things that are just happening so fast, you know. But I think you know, my sister Jenny and Jet, like, we've been through so much stuff in the last couple years. This is just, we're closer now than we've ever been in,
that's great,
20, 30 years. So, I mean, that's good for sure.
Well, obviously last week in the thick of it, we didn't want to rip a pot. It didn't really make sense. And I know you had your energy taken elsewhere. And this week, we just wanted to put one out so you could explain what the situation was, and so the buds could hear your voice, yeah, and know that you're all right. Because I know people are sending a lot of love your way, and everyone's been...
I do appreciate that. Yeah, I've gotten so many, DMs and tweets, and they've all been so helpful, and I appreciate. There's a lot of people going through what I'm going through. I would advise anybody, if this happens to you, to bang on your local MPP door and just get it, you know, just get in their face any way you can. And there's Voices of LTC on Twitter, which is a good group of people that I've kind of definitely joined with support. And, you know, that those kind of places and those kind of things are out there to help change things, because otherwise if you just sit around, it'll happen, and then it'll just be a bad memory, and eventually it'll be our future, you know.
I don't know if I've ever told you that a Ronnie Taggart line has made it into regular rotation in the Torrance family.
Oh yeah.
And it's how it's a little thing that he would say to your mom when they were driving through somewhere new. Do you know what I'm going to say?
We could make it here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
line. We could make it here,
Burl.
Yeah, driving through any, like, little garbage town or whatever, right?
Oh, the worse, the better. If it's really bad, it's like, hey, we could make it here.
We could make it here, Burl. So I say that all the time, and I say we could make it here, Burl, and it's my little tribute to your folks.
I love it. Thank you. I love you for that. That's awesome.
Well, love you too, bud. Hang in there, and this is wonderful news tonight.
Yeah, man. So we'll be back next week with hopefully more positive news, but this is how it is in TNT world, you know.
Good chat, bud.
Good chatting.